Hey everybody! Guess what? Today's affirmation that's kicking off this episode is so good. I know you are saying, Lolita, you always say that it's good, but no, listen to this. It is going to hit you. I am the single approver of me and I trust myself completely. The question is, do you? Imagine pulling this affirmation at the start of your day, declaring it aloud, and then manifesting it to your reality. Ooh. Well, we are going to challenge ourselves today, change agents. If you love that affirmation as much as I do, and you would love to grab a 40-card deck for yourself or for someone you know, head on over to lolitawalker.com/shop and let's get into it. Welcome to Coaching Cocktails and Conversations with Lolita E. Walker, the podcast that coaches you up while meeting you exactly where you are. Grab your water, tea, or something stronger and allow this podcast to help you feel the power in your pause. Come on in and join the conversation. Let's go. It's episode number 7, and here is a huge shout out to all of you who are returning to this kitchen table. I know you have already pulled up your comfortable chair. I know. And a special shout out to all of you all who are new. Let me tell you a little bit about how this podcast works. We break things down into 3 layers. The first layer is all about coaching. This is when I meet you where you are, and I gift a little bit of soul work just to challenge your thinking a little bit. Next, there's cocktails. Now, it doesn't matter what you're sipping on, nope. This is all about giving you a special cheers for the greatness that you are when you showed up today. And then finally, there are conversations. Now, sometimes it's just going to be you and I, and then other times we have a special invited guest. And today we are inviting, guess who? Ingrid S. Clay. Now, Ingrid is a Louisiana girl. She is an engineer by trade, an actress by skill, a fitness instructor, personal trainer, and a plant-based chef by choice. You may remember Ingrid as a past brand ambassador for Puma, or even the expert chef who was featured on the first virtual Essence Festival. But I can't wait to get into some conversations with her a bit later on because I know she is gonna bring some fire nuggets for us today. But first, let's get into some coaching. Rebounding with resilience. You know, today is about leaving you with a few strategies on how we can begin to do exactly this. It's kind of hard though, right? Believe me when I say I know. I have absolutely been there when I felt like there was just no coming back from where I was, especially in those moments. I couldn't really see past the fog that seemed to be right outside my window. It felt like I was really just carrying around this baggage with me all the time. You know what that just made me think of? You remember that song by Erykah Badu, Bag Lady? You gonna hurt your back. You remember that? Carrying around those bags like that. Bag lady. Now, I love a bag lady. I have been a bag lady time or two. I tell you that. And there's a lot of us listening in that have been this bag lady carrying all of these bags. But I didn't want to be carrying them anymore. I remember a time when I was newly divorced. Oh my God, there was so much hurt that surrounded that. I'm sure for both of us, but I know for sure that I was holding on to some hurt and baggage. My dad hadn't too long passed away. I had left an amazing company after 17 and a half years, which also meant, guess what I also left? That paycheck. I started my company, not really knowing what the real next steps were. I had a young son. If y'all are parents listening to this right now, you know that could be a handful in itself, right? Oh, and did I mention I had to break down and ask my mother if I and my young son could move in with her for a few years while I got my business on track. Really, while I launched my business. Oh, and I was 40. And I had enough furniture for a 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath house. And I only had my savings account. Now listen, I'm not complaining. I thank God for the resilience in the rebound. I'm not suggesting that my low is the lowest point of all time, but I know in that moment, I felt like that was my dip. Now, everybody's low is going to feel a little different when they feel like they're in a valley. It's so personal. But for me, I share this with you today because when we're feeling at our lowest is when we simply need to pause, to feel that power that's in the pause. And sometimes that's so difficult. So before we go even further, I'd love for you to grab your CCNC journal if you've already downloaded it from lolitawalker.com/podcast. Or if you're not able to do that right now, no problem. Just put your thinking cap on for that soul work that we are about to do. Somebody go ahead and ding that bell so we can get started. I'd love for you to recall a time when you would say that you were in a valley. And shoot, some of us listening in might actually be in a valley right now. So write down what's happening. And if you need to press pause, go on ahead because I want us to get this all at the same time, okay? Now you have what's happening in this valley. And you know, I stay calling and checking in with our best friend Google for a comparison of my thinking versus hers. According to her, yes, I'm talking about Google, to rebound is to bounce back through the air after hitting a hard surface or object. Wow. But how many of us have really felt like during those times in the valley when we were at our lowest, that it really felt like we had hit a hard surface or object? I'm raising my hand.
Matter of fact, both of my hands are up.
Absolutely. And if you haven't been in that valley, it's coming. So now you're going to have the nuggets to get you through and to rebound with this resilience, okay?
What do you think about when you think about the word resilience?
Me? I immediately thought about a rubber band. What did y'all say? Well, our bestie defined it as the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties or springing back into shape. Okay, Google. Our imagery for today is a bus stop. I know, seems strange, right? But listen to me out. You're going to draw yourself sitting on a bench in a bus stop and there's just some bags beside you, okay? Maybe put like three. You know, I'm a fan of three. So put three bags right beside you, okay?
As a recap of where we are, you've written out already what was your low, what was happening during that time. Then you have a bus stop and you're sitting at the bus stop on a bench because you want to be comfortable. And beside you, there's these three bags. Now I want you to name the bags. What do you mean, Lolita, when you say name the bags? What am I naming them? I want you to think about, what are you holding on to right now in your valley? What are three things that you're holding on to that's really preventing you from getting on a bus? You've been sitting at this bus stop and these cars are passing by. You have friends, beep, beep, but you're stuck. You feel stuck at this bus stop. You can't carry this stuff anymore. It's heavy. You know, I tell you guys all the time that I do these exercises with you. So I'll share my three bags that I'm writing down right here. And it's based off of the story that I told you before. I took myself back to that place and my three bags are divorce, the feeling of failure and forgiveness. That's a whole bag in itself. Then I have a bag that's just titled Dad. It was, I guess, the grief of my father. And it was that security. My confidant was gone. I was holding on to him so tight. And fear is what I labeled the next. And when I'm talking fear, I'm talking about my business. I think just the launch of it and just losing the control of if I failed. Comparison of other people's businesses that had started around the same time. Fear that my money was going to run out because I shared I only had my savings account. Those are my three bags. Go ahead and label your bags and press pause if you need to. I want you to take a look at your picture. And if you didn't write it down, it's no problem. But I want you to think about this holistic picture that's in your mind and ask yourself, how long are you going to stay seated at that bus stop? Aren't you cold? Aren't you tired? Aren't they heavy?
Aren't they taking up unnecessary space? You remember that commercial that said, move over, bacon. Here comes something leaner. Let's move that stuff out of the way. Isn't it time that you remember that you are worthy of moving forward and doing something bigger, better, and bolder to make you happy, to make you excited?
There is healing when you start to walk away from that bus stop. Now, remember, our goal is to rebound back to what? To the best version of yourself.
yourself when all of those distractions are moved out of your way, where all of that baggage has actually been picked up, because we are rebounding out of our valley. We are rebounding back to the best version of ourselves. Does that make sense? You are not your best self when you're sitting with these bags that are holding you down and are weighing you down, because that's where your energy is. How are you going to look past the fog that is right there when you have these bags that are crowding your way? No, we're going to take the lessons with us, but our bags are not going to be this heavy. Absolutely not. We are going to walk out of that bus stop with our book bag, okay? And it has other stuff that is going to empower us, stuff that is going to keep us motivated. So let me tell you how we are rebounding with resilience. Let me tell you how we are getting up and we are walking according to Lolita. You ready? I got six things for you. The first is that we are sitting in the power of our pause. Remember I talked about that earlier? Remember I told you that when I did my TEDx talk, it was about sitting in your momentary interruption until you are able to shift to the best version of yourself. When you're sitting at that bus stop and you allow yourself to sit in the power of your pause, whoo, let me tell you something. That's where the discovery happens. That's where the action happens. That's where the creativity happens. Next, remember what you stand upon. Does that sound familiar? Yep. Remember your foundation and allow it to help you reclaim your confidence, okay? Next, we're going to grab that power, because guess what? It's yours. You knew that from the last episode. Absolutely. Then you're going to allow space for your courage to meet your fear. Why? So that you can leave those bags right there, because we need coverage to do that. If it was easy, guess what? It would have already been done. We want to leave those right there. They are not ours anymore. And allow the trash folks to go ahead and pick that up, because you've taken the lessons out of each of those. It doesn't mean you are going to forget at all. But what it means is that you have acknowledged that you are ready to shift to the best version of yourself. Okay. Then we're at number five. Consider how you are going to make your natural supernatural. Because now that you have left the bus stop and you have left all of that stuff there, you're feeling lighter. Now you can see all the natural within you, and you are going to make that supernatural, okay? Because why? God has already placed those natural gifts inside of you, and now it's time to leverage them. And number six, we want to leverage the folks that are at our playground and ask them for help where needed. Sometimes we struggle with asking for help. This help might be in a form of a coach. I help people get unstuck all of the time. That is what I'm certified to do. And I'm really good at it, actually. That's my supernatural. Whether it's an individual, whether it's a group, sometimes you just need a partner along the journey to help you to see clearly, to help you move chaos to clarity, to help you move from fear to action. And that is absolutely okay. If you think that these exercises are amazing, this is only the tip of the iceberg when we're working together within a coaching program.
I'm telling you that if this is something that you know you need to get unstuck and move away from that bus stop so that now you can rebound with resilience, why wait? You need to reach out to lolitawalker.com/coaching. I'm here.
Your help, it could be with a job recruiter. It is finding that resource at your playground that you're connected with, that somebody else is connected with, and shift to the best version of yourself, right? It could be with a therapist. It could be with a friend, but you have to be okay with asking for help when you need it. Don't sit there at that bus stop all alone, because you don't need to. Now, the how of how to do these things are in our last episodes. Magic, right? But it's so true. All of the episodes before this one, 1 through 6, will get you to the how. We are complex individuals, and the key is absolutely knowing that we possess the resilience to absolutely rebound. We really do. You will rebound. Can you commit to letting go of one of those bags at the bus stop today? Can you do that? Can you commit to walking away from that bus stop and going somewhere that you are supported? Now, some of these supportive folks have come by this bus stop a few times now, and you told them, go on ahead about your business. Don't worry about it. Accept the help. Shift to the best version of yourself, okay? And you know what? I think I am going to do a bonus episode. Yep, because I want to make sure we can talk about forgiveness a little bit. And then I'll give you a bonus here, okay? You ready? So you'll have 7 that you're walking away with. Lucky number 7. 7 is all about completion. Replace complaints with gratitude. You know, that's actually something I do with my son, because we got to a point where everything was just a complaint. For every complaint, put a gratitude on it. Anytime you feel yourself complaining about something, in that same breath, say something that you are grateful for in that moment. All righty, who's ready for some cocktails? I know I sure am. Let's go. Woo, that was a pretty packed session, huh? Well, what are you celebrating today? Me, I am celebrating that I have finally hit one of my podcast goals of batch recording. I am recording 3 at the same time. For instance, I've already recorded the bonus episode on forgiveness because I was so excited about it. And then I came back to this one to kind of record the last pieces and edit a little bit. But yeah, I'm so excited about that. So here's a cheers to me for hitting that goal right there. Yay. And what about you? Well, of course, I have a couple of cheers that I am ready to give to you. I am saying cheers for recognizing that you have been at the bus stop. You are tied to the potential of what if. I'm giving you a cheers for recognizing that, guess what? It is time to move on from that bus stop and start anew, taking the lessons that you've already learned and just moving and shaking, because there is a future best you that is waiting to be unleashed. I'm celebrating all of these 7 takeaways that you are going to go back and listen to and figure out how you can intertwine them into your everyday. I'm celebrating that, guess what? You are here for episode number 7. Yes. Cheers. Now, are you ready to finally get to this kitchen table and talk to Ingrid S. Clay? I know I am. Let's go. Hey, Ingrid.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to my kitchen table for coaching, cocktails, and conversations. I'm so excited that you're here.
Me too. I'm so honored.
Yay. Okay. Well, today we are talking about rebounding with resilience. And can't somebody use this word today, right? I have a couple questions for you. This is when we just get together and just talk, just like we're at a table having a cocktail. What I talked to the folks here at the kitchen table about before you got here was that imagine ourselves sitting at a bus stop. We have these bags beside of us, and in these bags is just stuff. And if you were to name them, what is the stuff that you're holding on to? And sometimes we've got to get that thing that's going to allow us to move and get up from the bus stop so that we could be our bigger, better, brighter selves. Mm-hmm. So the question that I have for you is, have you ever found yourself in a valley that you needed to rebound from? And if so, how did you get yourself out of it?
Yes, I found myself in a valley. When you get divorced, they always say, don't get into a relationship. I think that's 100% true, because when you are at a low point, you're only going to attract others at a low point. Mm-hmm. I did get in a relationship at the end of my divorce, mm-hmm. and it was an abusive relationship. And that was the first time I found myself in a valley. There's a few ways I got out of it. One, unbeknownst to me in the moment, was fitness. Mm-hmm. I had just met a new coach. You know, I was training for a show, and he really helped me rediscover who I was. So I always say I got strong on the inside first before mm-hmm. I even noticed what was happening on the outside, because I kind of wasn't paying attention. I was almost just like, let me just try to focus my energy on something else, so I don't have to be engulfed by everything that was happening around me. The other thing is, I remember one night it was almost in the typical start of a book. I was on the kitchen floor. I was crying. It was probably my lowest point. And my mom always gave me these books that I never paid attention to. Like, I called them Jesus books. I'm not super, super religious, but I am super spiritual. So there was this book she gave me called Conversations with God. Something told me at that point to go pick it up. And I read the whole book in that night. And it was nothing about what I thought it was going to be about. It was very spiritual and it spoke to me. And then I discovered so many other spiritual leaders. I started meditating and I started journaling more because I used to journal all the time. And then I got away from it in the midst of all this change. And so I really started focusing inward on how I felt, writing that down and writing down what I wanted for myself, not ignoring the pain, seeing the pain and saying, this will pass and I want for it to be less and less. I would literally write down, I want this pain to be less and less, or I feel like this pain is becoming less and less. I think between that, the positive affirmations, I always tell my trainer, his name is Chuck, I always tell him, I don't know if he knew what was going on, but I felt like he had a sense of it. So he would just give me little things. They were along the lines of like, are you a bad bitch? Why are you worried about But these are, you know, they yeah. help you come back, because when you're in that place, when you're in that valley, you don't feel like there's any hope of coming out of it. But I always say I climbed, I crawled, and I pulled my way out of it. Through that, I discovered not only the mind over body portion of fitness, but also meditation and healing in that way. Meditation is a daily part of my routine now, and mindfulness as well. And I still journal. There are times when I kind of like lose it and I can feel, girl, you're too in your head because you haven't meditated. You haven't journaled. You need to focus. And I do think those are things of self-care, even though it seems like it's small, but it's really big. And I do believe in the power of writing, how you feel. You write what you want. I feel like once you write it, it is, you know, the universe, God, source. I feel like they hear it and it is. That's kind of how I got out of it.
I love that, Ingrid. You said so many things and I want to draw it back to you so you can hear exactly what you said because it's so powerful and you just dropped so many nuggets. You were in a valley. You started fitness and through the power of affirmation, somebody believing in you and seeing what you couldn't yet see, you started with the foundation of you. And I am such a firm believer. That's why I love that you said that, is that you got to start with your insides. Because if you don't start with the foundation of you, nothing else is going to happen, right? Yep. You also talked about just the notion of writing. And there's so much power when you articulate something. There's power in your voice, and your voice is power. The fact that you are writing it and now you can see it, that seeing it, that affirming it becomes reality and you walk and talk and move differently. And I'm saying all of this because I also want the folks at the kitchen table to recognize that these words that they're hearing on these episodes are real. It's real life.
Yeah.
I love it. Yay. I got all the way into it, honey. I didn't even say, tell me about yourself. So tell us a little bit about yourself. I just jumped all the way in.
Well, I am Ingrid. My background is in physics and engineering.
I used to work
with Lolita at Gillette. And I was an engineer there. I got my MBA while I was there. And then, you know, I met my ex-husband and we relocated. And I kind of started working for myself as a marketing manager. I would help medical spas. I remember I introduced one of my clients to Twitter. I'm dating myself, but Twitter came out. She was like, I don't know what this is, but I don't think it's going to work. So then after that, in the middle of all this, I was getting ready to get married. And I was like, ooh, I gained a lot of weight. I wrote my own computer program to figure out my macros. At the time, macros wasn't such a keyword. So it was based on a lot of research I did. Mm-hmm. And I used a Cosmo blueprint. I saw this Cosmo diet and I was like, oh, I'm going to kind of use this, but based on my research. And that's how I wrote my program. And I did it. I lost weight. I remember thinking, this is great, but I didn't want to look so skinny. I wanted to look more healthy and fit. Mm-hmm. So I went back college regimen and, you know, went back to lifting weights, worked that into my plan and, you know, changed my body type from there. And then, you know, there were people in the cul-de-sac who liked that idea and wanted me to help them. So I helped a lot of people in the cul-de-sac. From there, relocated to LA, did a lot of writing here, wrote a lot of short stories. I wrote a couple of features that I sold, started fitness full-time as a bartender at night. training people early in the morning. The hustle mm-hmm. was real. competed in my shows for the first time. A lot of times people are always like, well, I don't know. I don't have time to do this. Honey, I would leave the bar at midnight. I would wake up at 4 a.m., do faster cardio, train clients. Like, you have time for whatever you really yep. want to do. Mm-hmm. So now I know when I don't wake up at faster cardio is because I don't want to.
It's a choice.
and that's how you have to be. When you say things, it's not a matter of I can't, it's mm-hmm. I just don't want to. And you need yep. to be honest with yourself about, I don't want to do it right now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe later I will, but right yep. now I don't want to.
And being okay with it.
And that's okay too, but be honest about it. You know, yeah. the excuses aren't honesty, it's a deflection. Started doing that full time, got a job with Barry's. I've been there over 5 years now, just finished my app. Branching out with my own brand ever since we were at Gillette and P&G, I loved beauty and I love yes. products and I love trying products. I had like a blog years ago called Beauty Junkie Girl where I would try all these products and review them. Who would send me products to review? It was like the beginning of this yep. kind of influencer landscape. Just kind of going back to that, I still use a lot of products. And now I'm working with my mom, who used to make our own lotions and stuff growing up. And we're working on our own beauty line that's natural and vegan.
Yes, congratulations.
Yeah. So I've been working on that. We're going to start with one product. And that's right now at the lab. We're waiting on our samples to come back. It's exciting. It's exciting.
It is.
With her. So it's like a lot of little things going on. Mm-hmm. But they're all in the same realm of yep. health and wellness. In the middle of all this too, I went to culinary school. I got my plant-based chef certificate. When I first moved to LA, I used to cook for studios. Uh-huh. And it was usually like Southern food. And then I got healthier. And then I started my meal delivery company. Let's just say you have Drake coming in mm-hmm. and he's on this kind of diet. I can mm-hmm. cater his meals towards this diet and do customized meals just for him. This client that's coming in to sing, she wants this, this, this. This one wants no carbs. So I started doing that. And at the time, I only had one vegan client, and that was Barry J, who started Barry's Bootcamp. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want to learn more about how to cook vegan and learn more about being vegan. So that's why I went and took the courses there. I had eczema really, really bad growing up. I went to a doctor here, and I've been I haven't had dairy in over 10 years.
Yeah, it makes a difference.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. Anytime I would do a show, like when you do shows, you're eating like 6 meals a day. Mm-hmm. They're usually all meat. And I always felt so heavy after a show because mm-hmm. you're prepping for like 3 months for a show. That's a lot of meat. Anytime after I do a show, I would always detox and go vegan for like a month or two. I always felt better. I was lifted heavier. So I was like, there's something to this. And then I just slowly made the switch because the other thing is while I was in culinary school, I was like, oh my God, I kind of feel like such a hypocrite. I'm making all these plant-based meals and then I go home and eat like steak. So I don't know. I had to make the switch slowly for me though, because I wanted to maintain muscle mass. I've been plant-based for about 3 years now.
Wow, that's awesome. Good.
I've outsourced the meal prepping and mm-hmm. I now just do private events, no more than 15 people, plated meals. So I do 5 courses or more and they're all plant-based meals. I like that better.
Already, you have said that you do a number of things. You are a woman of all trades and I love it. Engineer by trade, personal trainer, and you have an app. What's the app called?
ISC, Ingrid Clay, after me.
I love it.
I would say by the end of July, I'm starting with content, videos, weekly plans, a way for you to talk to me, ask me questions and stuff like that.
Yep. And you have virtual classes as well, right?
Yeah. So right now my virtual classes is through Barry's.
Yay. I love it. Love it. Love it. I have this come as you are round that I want to ask you a couple of questions about. Why is the work you do so important?
It inspires people to be a better version of themselves. Mm-hmm. And inspires me.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Okay. What is one strength that you bring to the table in your practice that you didn't always recognize was a strength?
I would have to say my resilience. Because, you know, anytime you're an entrepreneur, you got to be king and queens of bounce backs. Because,
talk about it.
I guess the main thing is not getting hung up on the things that don't work. I feel like if I'm trying to force something to happen, I need to come off of it because you shouldn't have to truly force anything to happen. It's not time.
Yeah.
I always try to shift focus on the things that are working. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I do that, for some reason, that other thing that was stuck just opens up because your focus is not on trying to make this work. I'm trying to make this work. You let it go for a second. focused on what is working. I'm a firm believer that things come when it's time. It's something I know is true, but it doesn't mean that I don't struggle with it too.
Absolutely.
That's my strength. And I didn't realize.
And a promotion.
So it's Director of Diversity, Inclusion, and Belonging within one company in fitness. But it's weird that you look at the world of sports and athleticism and you see a lot more diversity there. But when you look at the world of fitness, like in group fitness, there is none. So as the only, so many times in my fitness career, the only Black or the only woman, you're always the only. I think companies need to realize that you don't need to just have one. There's multiple Black women who can do this job.
Yes, absolutely.
Like a lot of times I think when you get booked, they're like, well, we need one Black. We need one Black. What man or woman? It would be good if it could be a woman. So that check. That's enough of that thinking, you know, because you don't think that way when it comes to the majority. We have to think in different ways when it comes to marginalized groups and that representation. I know it's going to be a lot of work. You can't change a system overnight. But I would like to initiate some change there.
You will initiate change because you have been an only, and so you know what that feels like, looks like, right? So yeah. You absolutely will. What is one barrier that is sometimes still in the way of you leaping beyond where you stand today?
I mean, everything is rooted in fear. The fear of being successful in a way. You can feel it. Like, I feel like I'm bigger than this, destined for greatness. But I think I sometimes make myself small to make other people feel comfortable.
Yes.
And it's a disservice to myself and to them, but mostly to me. And I'm working on that. It's so funny because I read this thing and it said, you know, there's two mothers and there's a Black mother with her Black son and there's a white mother with her white son. And the Black mother says to the white mother, oh, your son is doing amazing. He's so good. He's like making good grades. And the white mother realizes, well, the Black mother's son is doing way better than hers. And she's like, no, your son. And she's like, oh no, he's a handful. You know, I don't know what to do with him. The thing about that quote is it doesn't mean that the Black mother loves her son any less. But when we go back to generational trauma and how when, you know, that Black mother had her son in slavery, if he was too good, if he was too smart, he'd be taken away. Mm-hmm. So she would downplay him to keep him safe. And I think a little bit of that has trickled over in a sense that I downplay myself in order to kind of make everyone else feel comfortable in a way. We have to come out of that. It holds you back. This is something I'm working on.
Yeah.
And working on taking a compliment.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Taking the goodness and not, oh girl, no, I don't. Or, you know, like being able to take it. The thing I always tell clients too is when someone gives you a compliment, stop and feel it. Yes. Feel how that makes you feel. If you feel something about that compliment, you have to say, why? Why does that make me uncomfortable? Right. Why don't I want to receive it? We too readily receive negative and we will dismiss the positive. So if you think about that, all you're getting is negative.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you can't operate life like that's too much. And that's why you're so tired. That's why you're so drained because you're only opening up to negative things. You have to switch it and really start opening up and letting positive things seep in. And no, you don't have a big head. And no, you're not conceited. This is who you are. This is what you deserve. Step into your light. And
yes. Absolutely. Yes. Cheers from the background. You know, it's so, I love it. And I say that because oftentimes as women, we give so much to everyone else and we rarely take that same time, energy, resources, and pour back into ourselves. And if we do, exactly like you said, it comes with guilt. Or we're feeling like, I don't want to showboat, or I don't want to do X, Y, and Z. No, absolutely. If you don't leverage the power of your voice, like we talked about, right? Then how will others know the great work that you're doing so that now you can progress even farther than where you are standing right now? So I absolutely love that. Angry, look at you. And then I want to go back to the bus stop and you finding those ways of affirming yourself with positivity, journaling. In this moment, I feel what? And I say that because that is what I use all the time. And I heard a version of that from you. Turning off your phone on Sundays, I love it. But what is your motivation to do those things? What drives you to get out from the bus stop?
A peace of mind. relief in a way, you know, that brings you peace. I feel like that stuff, it just drags you down. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't propel you forward. It might for a little bit, but then it always comes back up. So if you just let it go, I just feel like, one, you have peace and clarity, mm-hmm. because you can see things now without those lenses. A lot of times those lenses cloud your judgment because you're only viewing life through the fear, through the hurt, through the pain. That's not clarity. Mm-hmm. And you may be missing out on so much because of that.
Yes. When you're holding on to those bags that's right beside you at the bus mm-hmm. stop, what are you missing out on? I love that, Ingrid. Oh my gosh, so good. We give a cheers here.
Okay.
For the guests who have joined us today at the kitchen table.
Cheers to rediscovering who you really are and stepping into your light.
Mm-hmm. This has been so great. In the beginning, I said, Ingrid is going to drop some fire nuggets on us today, and you did not disappoint.
I meditated this morning. I was ready to go.
I love it. Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We have concluded another episode of Coaching, Cocktails, and Conversations with Lolita E. Walker. Connect with me at lolitawalker.com for speaking, coaching, and my book, The Intersection of You and Change. Next time, bring a friend. Cheers.